Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Prepping for Everything podcast with me, your host, Emily. Today we are going to be talking about freeze dryers, specifically the Harvestright freeze dryers. That is just the machine and the brand that I have experience with. That's the one that I own. I got mine partially gifted back in February last year, so February 2023. Holla at the benefits of having a preparedness platform. And honestly, since I got this machine, I have hardly had a day where it has not been running. It's amazing for preserving food. And what I love about it is the variety of food that you can preserve. You can preserve meats and dairies and full meals or snacks, fruits and veg. You can even do candy. A lot of people love doing candy and it changes like the texture of the candy. It seems to be a really big thing online just now. When I first got this thing, I was so scared to do something wrong. I treated it like this big fragile baby. And then we actually didn't realize when it arrived how big it would be. I didn't measure out a proper area for it. So I had it on this little table in my spare room and I thought it was kind of hanging off the edge. I was scared it was going to fall. So we had to move it to a bigger table. And I can still remember asking Will to help me move it. So you've got your big main machine, which is like your actual freeze dryer. And then you have this like pump that comes with it. So I've got the oil pump and it's connected to the machine. I'm clearly not explaining this very well, but I asked Will to help me move it. Will knocked the pump off the table and it snapped. This was like one day into getting this freeze dryer. I genuinely almost cried. So I can remember contacting Harvestright and they couldn't have been nicer. I found people in some online threads talking about how their customer service is poor, but I just want to say that I have personally always had top-notch communication with them. Anytime I've had an issue, I've just reached out and they rectified it straight away. So they sent me a new pump part so that then I could start freeze drying again. And then after that, I had an issue with this screen. I don't know, did I crack it myself or was it just not completely right when it arrived? But again, they sent a replacement and they talked me through how to fix it. And guys, I was in the depth of this machine with zero technical or mechanical skills, but I managed by watching a YouTube video that they'd sent me. So my experience with them has always been good. Maybe I've just gotten lovely people at Harvestright. The reason that we initially wanted a freeze dryer was the significance of preserving food. Especially in the context of food security and emergency preparedness, we obviously have one to build up our long-term food storage. But in saying that, freeze dryers also make great snacks. It reduces our waste because all of our leftover meals now get put in there to freeze dry. And it clears up a lot of freezer space because before any of my leftovers, I'd be putting them into like a tub and then putting them into the freezer. But that only helps them last, what, maybe 6 months to a year. But your freeze dryer, you can preserve things for up to 25 years or even 30 in some cases. Is that not crazy? I have not personally tested this myself, obviously. I'm not even 30 years old. But the tests and studies that have been done, this is what they say. It can last that long, but it also retains 97% of the nutrients. So when we compare this to the likes of canning or dehydrating, there's a big, big difference there because with those other forms of food preservation, you lose a lot of the nutrients due to the high temperatures involved. Hi listeners, are you ready to take your preparedness to the next level? My comprehensive online course is a great place to start. From food storage and preservation to water readiness and bug out bag checklists, I've got you covered. This is more than just presentation screens. I've also added downloadable worksheets, video tutorials, checklists, and loads of prepping content, which is consistently being added to as we generate new ideas. Not to mention, you get to take it in your own time to fit around your lifestyle and you get lifetime access to the content. And here's the best part. As a valued listener of this show, you get an exclusive 10% discount with code POD10. That's POD10 to enter into the coupon code section at checkout. Don't miss out on this opportunity to level up your preparedness game. Visit the link in the show notes to enroll today and together we can build a future where we are prepared for whatever life throws our way. I'll see you there. So what is Freeze drying. Freeze drying, it's a sophisticated food preservation technique that involves removing the moisture from food items while preserving their original taste and nutrients. The process works by first freezing the food at a very low temperature and then adding to the vacuum chamber where a controlled heating process called sublimation occurs. In the vacuum environment, the frozen water in the food turns into vapor and is then removed, leaving behind a dried and lightweight product. And essentially, what you do is you just put your food onto the provided steel trays and then into the machine. You can do this just with the food as it is. A lot of people like to put the trays into a freezer first to help it freeze and then put it into the freeze dryer. But the only thing that you're doing there is reducing the drying time. You're kind of reducing how hard the freeze dryer needs to work, because if not, the freeze dryer does that first. Before you add your food to the machine, you're going to click start. It will begin to rapidly freeze the chamber. From there, you add your food, you close the valve and enable a proper vacuum chamber seal, and then you let the machine do the rest. Like, that's it. You come back X amount of hours later. A lot of the time it's 15 hours. If you're freeze drying something that's really wet, like soup, usually I'll be a full 24 hours at least for that to dry properly. So if you aren't fully convinced that it's completely dry through, you can always add extra dry time. I do that quite a lot anyway, just to be on the safe side. I don't want to go through all the effort of freeze drying something for it to not be properly dry and then it will go rancid. You need to make sure that all the moisture is taken out of that food before you're going to be storing it. Another thing that you can do is just add extra dry time if you aren't actually ready to remove your food and bag it. You want to make sure that when it's coming out the freeze dryer, you are ready to then store it the way that you want to store it, whether that's in a Mylar bag with an oxygen absorber or a glass jar with, I don't know, a desiccant. Whatever way that you're doing it, even if it's just going on your shelf or if it's going into long-term storage, you want to make sure that you're ready to do that so that it's not sitting out, it's not getting the humidity of the air or any condensation added back into it. When we've gone through the work of freeze drying, you want to essentially just store it the way that you've just taken it out of the chamber. The advantages of freeze drying food are obviously an extended shelf life. I think that's why most people come to it. You've got your extended shelf life is a great way to preserve your food, to hold your nutrients, and it really helps preserve the flavor and texture. So the texture does change. You can eat a lot of freeze-dried foods as is. If I put banana chips in there, I love freeze-dried banana chips just the way they are. I don't then introduce water back into it to reconstitute that to go back to a banana. Reconstituting your freeze-dried food basically just means adding water back into it to get back to the previous sort of texture. So there's a lot of foods that I do that with, the likes of anything that I'm storing meals wise. So only last week I did macaroni and cheese. I've done chili as well, and they're obviously stored as full meals. So when I then go to eat them, I'll just add a little bit of water to it and it goes back to a proper meal. It's like magic, and it seems like it's too good to be true, but it's not. I'm here to tell you that I do this pretty much all day, every day, and it's not too good to be true. It's amazing. There's a few things I found that haven't gone back to quite the texture that I want them to, and obviously sometimes things are a little bit different than before you freeze dried them. For example, I did peppers last week, and I usually just put them on the shelf with an oxygen absorber in the jar, and then I can add them into a quick meal. It just saves me needing to go to the store if I've run out of peppers and I don't have any in the fridge, or if I didn't preserve enough from the year before that we'd grown. It's on the shelf. It's shelf stable. You do not need electricity like you would to run a freezer or a fridge. I mean, you obviously do to power your freeze dryer, but once that part's done, it's done. So the peppers, when I added a little bit of hot water back to them, they're still a little bit crinkly looking, but they taste exactly like any other pepper would in a meal. It's great. It really, truly is great. Before I got a freeze dryer, I really was interested in canning, specifically pressure canning, because the main thing for me was if we were going to be in a power outage or like a long-term situation, grid down, anything that everything in my freezer would start to defrost and there was no way of keeping that cold, I wanted to know that I could take all that meat that was in my freezer and pressure can it so that it was shelf stable. That's the main reason that I want to learn this. And now I have the option of freeze drying instead. I actually don't do as much canning. I get asked this by people all the time. When it comes to preserving food, what is your preferred method? What's the pros and cons? I think each of them have their own set of advantages and limitations, but in my opinion, I personally think freeze drying is the most superior and versatile form of preservation if you have the electricity to run it. However, to me, when it comes to any of this, it's not about either or, but instead building a diverse pantry and food system that works for you. That's the main thing. You don't need to do what I'm doing here. I still love canning, but the high temperatures used in canning can lead to the loss of vitamins and enzymes and delicate flavours, whereas with freeze drying, you're keeping most of these intact. I'm not trying to say that freeze dryers don't have their issues though. I think they've got a lot of pros, but they do have some cons. They're big. You need to have a proper space to set them up in. They're also quite noisy. I don't have mine in the main house anymore just because the noise affects me. Now, I'm pretty sensitive to noise. I feel like I can't focus or do anything. You know, if you have a tap dripping in the background, I can't focus. If I've got someone trying to speak to me and the radio is on as well, the radio needs to go off. My brain power can only go one place at one time. So maybe it's just a me thing, but I find them too noisy to be in the main rooms that you're working in or living in. And lastly, they're expensive. There's no doubt about that. These are a big investment. And if you're really wanting to add this to your family, you're probably going to have to save unless you're rich. We were saving for one for a long time. We knew it would benefit us. We wanted a way to make sure that we could preserve everything that we were growing, because sometimes at the height of summer or the height of autumn, when you're pulling all of your stuff out of the ground and out of the polytunnel, it's a lot to can it all at once. So it's quite nice having the option of being able to throw some in the freeze dryer as well as canning. So they are expensive, but I also see people making money with a freeze dryer. I see people starting businesses. It does open doors to new money-making opportunities. And I've seen people, for example, selling products. Like with your freeze dryer, you can create snacks or meals or even custom freeze-dried pet treats and sell that online or at local markets. Like I said, I've seen so many people recently finding success with freeze-dried candy. Or you could focus on the growing demand for long-lasting emergency food supplies and create like survival food kits to sell. You could cater them to hiking communities and you're onto a winner. A lot of people within the hiking and hunting communities love freeze-dried food just because it's so lightweight and easy. This isn't a can of food that you need to take. If you take a few cans of food with you when you're backpacking, that soon gets heavy. Freeze-drying food is so lightweight. I can't even describe it to you unless you're actually able to hold it in your hand, because it's had pretty much all of the moisture pulled out of it. It's like nothing's left until you add the water back in. What other ways could you make money with your freeze dryer? You could make money through collaborations and events. You could partner with chefs, event planners, caterers to offer freeze-dried ingredients or dishes that add a twist to their offerings. If you're a content creator, you could partner with freeze dryer companies to create education content to share with your audience and gain commission in return. I am personally an affiliate for Harvest Right Freeze Dryers. I am only an affiliate for Harvest Right. I do not work with any companies that I do not use and personally love in my day-to-day life. Harvest Right seemed like a great option for me because I'm not trying to sell something that I don't personally believe in. So if you want to buy a freeze dryer, I do have a link below. From that, if you click and buy through my link, it just means that I get a small amount of commission and it helps me continue creating content. I do a lot of content on my Instagram showing how to freeze dry, showing how to then use those meals. So they're not just sitting on your shelf and they're going to be there for the next 30 years, unless that's what you want to do. But for me to continue creating that content, a little bit of commission just goes a long way, and it doesn't affect the person buying the freeze dryer in any way. It doesn't mean that you're paying more. It just means that you buy through my link, and that's it. One final way of making money with your freeze dryer is that you could rent your freeze dryer. It's no lie, again, that these are expensive machines and many people want to test the one out before buying. And this is where renting out your freeze dryer per run or per day could help you make some money back on your purchase. I personally do not rent out my freeze dryer because I don't feel comfortable with anyone using it that doesn't necessarily know how to use it. I wouldn't mind if any of my family or friends or anyone local wanted to come over and see how it's done, and I'm still in control of the situation. I would just hate handing off this big expensive piece of kit to someone that could potentially break it. So we've gone through some of the cons, but I've kind of turned one of those cons into a good thing, I think. Is there anything that you can't freeze dry? There are a few things that you can't do. Butter is one of the things that you can't freeze dry due to the high fat content. If anything has too high a fat content or oil content, it might not freeze dry properly. If you think of things like peanut butter or pure chocolate, honey, syrup and jam, none of these things will freeze dry really well. Another thing I'm always skeptical of is anything with a lot of seeds in it. So you can freeze dry, obviously the likes of strawberries and raspberries, think about the seeds in those, but you've just got to be really careful that everything that you've freeze dried has been done properly, because if not, it might all ruin just because all that moisture is not out of that seed. When I'm doing anything like that, I'm really careful to open up the raspberries, make sure there's no moisture left inside, and add extra dry time if I need to add extra dry time. All of this information can seem really overwhelming when you're not actually looking at what I'm talking about. It can be hard to visualize if you've never even seen a freeze dryer before, but I have so much information on my Instagram. If you go and look up my Instagram, Prepping for Everything, and especially if you go to my freeze dryer highlight, I go through all of this and I take a lot of questions there as well. So I'm just going to go through some of the main questions that I get. A lot of people ask me about preserving herbs. Can you do that in a freeze dryer? Yes, you can do that in a freeze dryer. I picked a lot of mint last year. And what else did I do? I did lemon balm as well and heather. And you just whack it in the freeze dryer and then you can either blend it on the other end or just put it in glass jars, and that's going to last a really long time. Again, 20 to 25 years. It's insane when you think about it. Somebody did ask me, do I have any suggestion on preserving herbs when you don't have a freeze dryer? And for most herbs, you can simply hang them upside down in little bunches for like 2 weeks, preferably somewhere cool and dry and dark. When they're crispy and crumble, they can be stored. You can also put them on like little wire trays so that the airflow can get in between them. You can do it that way. You can also do it in a dehydrator. And if you don't have a dehydrator, you can even do it in an oven. Just turn your oven down to a really low temperature. Crack the door with a wooden spoon if it doesn't go that low, and you can put them in there. But you might lose more nutrients that way because you're introducing heat to the process. Someone else asked, if keeping freeze-dried foods in a jar, will they go off quicker? And not necessarily. If you want to store them longer term, you would just keep them in a cool dark place with an oxygen absorber, in a vacuum sealed jar, or in a Mylar bag, in maybe then a food safe bucket. Someone asked me, is using a normal freezer the same as using a freeze dryer? No. So freezing doesn't remove any moisture from your food, it just freezes it. Whereas freeze drying is removing almost all of the moisture, leaving you with a lightweight and shelf stable product. Someone else said, where the heck do you get it from? I think there might be one or two companies that sell home freeze dryers. The only one that I knew of to begin with was Harvestright. That's still who I use. I have a size medium. There are different sizes. I'm happy with the size medium for me and Will and Rosemary. If you've got a massive family, you might want a bigger freeze dryer, maybe a large or an extra large they do now. And yeah, like I said, I'm a Harvestright affiliate and I will leave my affiliate link in the show notes below, or it's on my page. Someone else said, are freeze dryers and dehydrators the same thing? That's a really common question, but no, they aren't the same. Dehydrators use heat and airflow to evaporate the moisture, whereas freeze drying removes it through extreme freezing and then using the vacuum chamber to essentially turn it into vapor and pull it out that way. Freeze drying is way more versatile. It removes more moisture, provides a longer shelf life, and retains more nutrients. In saying that though, I started with a dehydrator and I'm not against dehydrators. I still use them sometimes. And I think for a beginner, it's a Well, one, a lot more budget friendly, but two, maybe an easier process to start with. Someone else said, how long does it take? And that is totally dependent on what kind of food you're doing, how much of it you're doing, and if it's been frozen beforehand. Liquids take longer, and anything with seeds, for example, takes longer. Someone else said, do you have the one where you have to change the oil? If so, is it a pain? I did get the one where I have to change the oil in my pump, and I thought it'd be a pain. It's actually really easy. You just open up this little valve on the front, you drain it, and then you can either filter the oil or just replace it. When you order a freeze dryer through Harvestrite, they give you like a jug to filter your oil. They give you all the instructions on how to do it. And there's also YouTube. I just watched a quick YouTube video and then I knew how to do it. It's really not a problem and it's cheaper than the other pump. What else are people saying? Oh, a big one that everybody asks me is, how does it affect your electricity bill? And to be honest with you, that's a hard one for me to answer. Ever since the electricity bills went through the roof here, we have been really tight with everything else in the house. So we don't leave lights on, we don't leave anything running. Like, yeah, we're on top of it everywhere else, so I haven't noticed too much more of a difference. I reckon it's probably an extra couple pound a day that we are spending running a freeze dryer. And obviously, it's going to be dependent on where you live. My pricing here is going to vary massively to someone in the US, or even in the US, your pricing seems to vary hugely state to state. I would recommend trying to find somebody locally to you and seeing what their costs are with a freeze dryer. But Harvestrite themselves say that our small and medium freeze dryers use a standard 110 volt outlet. At peak, the freeze dryer draws about 15 amps, but on average, about 9 to 11 amps of power per hour. Power per hour. A dedicated 20 amp circuit is recommended. Your freeze dryer will cost an estimated $1.25 to $2.80 a day, depending on power costs in your area. So it's one of those things, there's no definite answer to that, and I'm sorry, I can't answer it. Somebody actually asked me, what's the last thing that you freeze dried? And the last thing that I put in the freeze dryer was that 2 days ago? I put some soup in. And soup comes out really cool on the other end, obviously, it's just like powder. I blend it, and then I store it in glass jars, and then when I go to use that soup, I literally just take a few scoops out into a bowl, add the amount of water that I need, and then that's my soup done again. And you can rehydrate it. You can reconstitute the soup with hot water. You can use a little bit of warm milk. You can use some stock if you'd like a little bit of extra flavor. It's just so versatile and it makes it so easy. If I'm not storing it long term, I will just put it in glass jars and use it like that. My parents have recently bought a motorhome, so they're going away on like quite a lot of short trips. So what I've been doing for them is just getting the small Mylar bags, the gusseted bags from Pack Fresh USA, and putting meals in there, the likes of, like I said, chilies and mac and cheese and soups. And then from there, when they're traveling anywhere, all they need is a little bit of water, and then they have home cooked food right there with them that is shelf stable. Anyway, you can tell I'm passionate about this. I feel like I could talk about freeze dryers forever. But I'm not going to. I'm going to let you all go now. If you have any questions about freeze dryers, about preparedness, about anything, please email me at preppingforeverything@gmail.com or send me a message on Instagram. That is where I'm most active. That is where you are pretty much always going to get an answer. And I just want to help. If you're thinking about buying a freeze dryer but have any questions beforehand, reach out to me. I'm more than happy to go through everything with you. And that's it. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the podcast, and I will be back to talk to you next Wednesday. Have a great week.